And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm going to screw up your last name, Gina. I'm sorry.
Everybody does. It's, don't worry.
How do I say it?
Savigny.
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 I would I have gotten that right? I might be able to say I would have gotten that right, maybe.
Probably not.
And Gina is one of the founders of
Earth Angels Believe Foundation.
Which is
a cancer foundation that raises money for patients who need monetary support that insurance doesn't cover. Sometimes we help with gas cards and food, and we are able to help in the Hudson Valley, 11 counties, as well as foundation members and their immediate family.
That's okay. So I had this Ivy style thing, right?
Yes.
And when I took it over, before you got here, Gina and I were talking about how being public facing is, you can't make everybody happy. It's impossible. Right. So I did this website called Irish Style, and when I got somebody else started it, and then I took it over. When I took it over, it was misogynistic, it was racist, it was deeply political, and I was just like, I took it over in part because all that was making me crazy. Yeah. So I take it over and it becomes my job. And the first thing I do is I start posting people who identify as women. But in prep clothing, you know, it's button down collars and ties and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So first person I post like that, by the way, she does this better than any of us guys do it. And then I posted a person of color and I wound up getting like four or five, like really rabid, like we're coming to your house.
Wow.
Stuff over that, right? Now, most of them died off because I made fun of them and they got embarrassed. Yeah. But I still have one guy to this day who will probably email you, who emails and says I'm an asshole and blah, 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 and you shouldn't have anything to do with me because I like everybody. I guess that's
you just
bad.
Have to learn not to fuel the fire.
Yeah.
You know, the carrot's going to be dangled and people like response and drama. So you just stick to your course and do what you do and believe in what you believe in.
Yeah. You were a teacher, right? You're retired now.
I was a teacher for 30 years.
What'd you teach?
I taught elementary school, first grade, second, fifth grade, regular, and special ed.
What, you skipped fourth because of the testing?
There were no openings, and they move you around. Like,
so oh, they do? Oh, okay.
I needed a fifth grade teacher, and then I finally got back into elementary
school. Where'd you teach?
I started in Poughkeepsie at Krieger Elementary School, but most of my 28 of my 30 years were in Carmel.
Okay.
Carmel School District.
I just the guest before you went to Krieger, she was talking about it.
Really?
Yeah. How weird is that?
That is weird.
Right?
That's where I started. I wonder if I know them.
Ann Maselli?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Sorry, Ann. I think she's probably older than you, so okay. It might be. All right. So you have this foundation.
Yes.
So
For 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out how to articulate this. Having been not a caregiver like you, you're freaking crazy good at it, but having been a caregiver, even if you have the means to do stuff, there's no time to do it. So you said like you give a gas card and stuff like that. Yeah. When you're in the heat of it, getting on a computer and pulling money from one account to another and putting on a card so that you can go get gas, you don't have that. So a gas card is like people are like, oh, a gas card, what good is that? A gas card is 10 minutes that I don't have. And you're driving the person that you're giving care to back and forth all the time. Yeah. What else do? You give incidentals?
What else do I do? I tutor.
No. I mean the foundation first.
Oh, as far as the foundation.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of patients from the healthcare consortium, and they'll let us know exactly what's needed for certain patients. They will tell us what they've helped with so far. We've helped with rent. We helped a teacher recently who just can't clean the house, so we got her someone to clean the house. We also helped somebody who needed to have a downstairs bathroom because they couldn't navigate stairs, and we helped support that project.
Oh, wow.
If there is a new therapy like immunotherapy that's not 100% covered by insurance,
right,
then you'll see us do a larger fundraiser so we can raise thousands to help. It's really, we've never turned anybody away.
That's awesome.
Because of our amazing community.
Right.
And we do little things like raffles and big things like music events.
Right.
And it's just amazing. And we also, I apply for grants. We just got one yesterday from the Peckham industry.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the Culinary Institute supports us. They did a beautiful gala for us.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I was able to attend.
Do you, so, I'll quick side story. So Trish has cancer, right?
Yes.
And we're going through it. And I have this friend named Elena. And one day, I'm driving Trish down to get the treatment. And Elena calls and says, I have a bucket and I'm going to your house. I'm going to clean it. And like, I hang up the phone and Trish like gets like, you can see her like shaking. It was hard for her to talk because she was like really in the heat of it. But she like, because Trish, you know, she keeps a ridiculously clean house, and she go and she's shaking, and I'm like, what's the matter? And she goes, Elena gets it. Like you think like cleaning a house isn't, but it, you're restoring dignity to a process that has no dignity to it whatsoever.
Exactly. And now, and that's, and I'm doing that with my sister.
Yeah. Now what's your sister's journey?
So my sister Julie was diagnosed with breast cancer in October, and she had a bilateral mastectomy in January. And in that specific surgery, they will take out additional lymph nodes to test for disease. They took 4 lymph nodes. 3 were diseased. So she had another surgery in April. I remember on April 18th because it was my birthday. And they removed 46 lymph nodes from her arm.
They were
all negative. Thank God. They were negative. And they do an amazing thing now where they take a piece of a vein from the leg. They repair a vessel in your arm so that there's just no disruption, and it reduces lymphedema to like 3%.
Wow.
So I go to take her to her treatment, sit with her in the cancer center for 4.5 hours as she's hooked up to all of her things, try to make her laugh.
And this isn't next door either.
No, this is in Wareham, Massachusetts. Yeah. It's a 4-hour drive from my house. Then I take her to physical therapy, cook for her, clean for her, laundry, get her out to take a little walk to the mailbox. So I've been doing that since the end of April, and that continues until August 1st, and then she has 6 weeks of radiation. Well, I'll drive her every day.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
I know that road. That's a lot.
The thing that's hard is I started this when I was 16 with my grandfather and continued it with my mom. And as the caregiver, you have to be so strong.
Yeah.
Inside, you know, you're like, especially with my sister, not again. I was having the flashbacks because when she comes home from surgery, and anyone who knows about surgeries, you have these awful drain tubes. I know how to clean them now, and that was my role. Like, we were waiting for the nurse to come for 3 days, but insurance hadn't caught up
right
through the VA, but they are covering almost all of this. My sister was in the Air Force. And
wonderful.
So, you know, I'm trying to make my sister laugh, keep positive. But then I actually started speaking to somebody a couple of months ago because I was saying my whole life has just flipped upside down. I can't schedule anything. And then I realized, no, this is my life. And it's okay to show how you feel. And my sister and I will have those moments where we break down together and then we move on and watch a funny movie. But I saw this, the whole process with my grandfather, who was my best friend. He was very supportive in all my sports and everything I did. And he was so young when he died. He was 61. My mom was 55. I've outlived my mom. And my sister's 57. And
wait, you're older than 55?
I'm 59.
Congratulations. I know this is a podcast, so people can't see it. She didn't look anywhere, not in that neighborhood, lady. Well done.
It's that coloring they give you in your hair. It's very hard, but when I leave is the hardest. Like, I'm driving home yesterday, and I'm just like, you know, I'll be there in a moment if you need me. But she was doing well, and she knew I had to get back for a couple of appointments and this. But for anybody else, you know, that's had to be a caregiver, it is the most difficult role because you want to be so strong, but yet you're handling so much. You know, I have two boys, and they're worried about their aunt. They're very close to their aunt, you know, reassuring.
So Trish and I have done some interviews about her because she had like this crazy journey, and they wound up taking like 15 lymph nodes out of her neck, and it was bizarre. And she's got like a piece of her thigh on the inside of her mouth because they grafted
amazing.
It. Insane. But we're and then she had like this remarkable comeback with alternative physical therapy with a trainer rather, because she was too traumatized to go back to the hospital. She's like, I can't do it. But she also couldn't walk.
Yeah.
So that's a story. So we're telling this story, and we're doing an interview, and they don't. So when you're in the heat, right? The only advice they give caregivers is, you know, take time for yourself, which you can't. There is none, right? And like, so I didn't realize like that being a caregiver was even a thing. I just thought, you know, I'm the wrong person to be a caregiver. You want me to sing and raise money? I can do that. You want me to care? I'm the one. So, but we're doing this interview, and so they start talking to me about like, and what was, you know, your experience as a caregiver. And I started getting like really emotional, and then emotional now. And then and it was a nurse that was interviewing us, and she said, you know, the caregiver is the hardest part of this whole thing. Cause when you're getting treatment, you're in and out, there's painkiller, there's blah, blah. But as the caregiver, it's unrelenting. And
we really tried to keep our humor. Like, I had to do a chart for her. It's gross. Draining tubes. I had to do a chart based on amount and color.
Nice.
So I was just like, today it's Kool-Aid, and today it's Raspberry Beret, and it's like, oh, Orange Julius, we're getting better. And I was just trying to make her laugh every single day about that. But like you say, like, I had to remind my sister of many medications, and last week she spiked a fever, and I'm like, I really think we're supposed to be calling. And she's like, no, it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'll take ibuprofen. And it came down by midnight. However, it spiked in the morning. And I said, you know what? I need to get you in. And her doctor did say, come in immediately. You should have come in yesterday. Like, and she said, you're going to have to drive. I'm a little dizzy. And she had lost her balance the day before, wrote it down, take a lot of notes. And when we got there, she was really out of it and said, no, I've been fine. I haven't been dizzy at all. And I'm like, no, actually she has been, and I had to drive her here. So there's that constant making sure that they're okay. And not just physically, like there's medicine for so much more
the
now,
medicine.
But mentally too, like the mindset, the positivity, because you can go into that dark hole.
Yep.
And we have come so far. There were no anti-nausea medications for my grandfather back then. They take Claritin now for bone pain because your bone marrow is producing white blood cells at a rapid rate, and that helps with long bone pain. They didn't have that for my mother. And my mom actually had a reoccurrence after 12 years cancer-free because they didn't know then she was estrogen positive. And when you start hormone therapy, it fueled like one cell to go into her bone, which is why my sister's on precautionary chemotherapy in case there was one cell that got away.
Right.
So my mom decided to do a case study at Dana-Farber in Boston. She knew it was not going to help her. And she said, you know, I came back so I can help other people. She never complained, always smiled, unbelievable.
Mm.
And this drug is called tamoxifen, which is now used for first stage breast cancer or prevention. And my sister was on the cousin of tamoxifen because she was diagnosed originally stage one, grade one, but then when it was in lymph nodes at stage two, never realizing, you know, fast forward, that it could benefit my sister.
Yeah.
It's just been crazy.
So what made you start a foundation?
So my mom worked for Scenic Hudson in Poughkeepsie.
Sure.
Very, very involved with land, air, and water preservation. And we used to call her an earth angel. And one day we were in Rhinebeck, and we see all these tents and what's happening at the fairgrounds. Let's go in. My son Paul, who will be 29 next month, was 5. And we said, let's find out. And it was called the Relay for Life, American Cancer Society's signature event, largest fundraiser, and we wanted to know everything about it. So we stayed, we got involved in the auction there and met some wonderful people and decided we're going to do a team. And we did with her coworkers and some friends and some relatives. And we did that for, oh my goodness, so many, many, many years. We were the Earth Angels in Rhinebeck, always raising the most. Because we just found out, you know, what was the most last year? We're going to make more. we'd put a number out there and we'd reach it. And I would look at my team and they'd be like, we're going to raise $10,000 in 2 months. And I'm like, yeah. And we did.
That's awesome.
I worked in Putnam County and there was a small Relay for Life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people who were supporting us were my students' families and people who lived in that area. And a teacher that came in, she was a leave replacement. She said, you know, we would love to have you in Putnam. So I sat down with our team and I said, I'd like to move to Putnam County. And I became a member of the committee there to help them grow. And we did a wonderful job. And my younger son, Patrick, was like, let's find out who made the most last year so we can make more.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Very competitive, but all for the great, great reason of raising money for cancer patients. And in 2019, my sister and I sat down and said, let's look into what it takes to become a nonprofit, mm-hmm. a 503c. I had no idea how to do this. So we got a lawyer. We incorporated. I sat down with, not just the team that we had for Relay for Life, but some other friends who were interested. We recruited new people and we decided to go for it and keep the money local.
Right.
And all be volunteers, which not all nonprofits are volunteer. You know, mm-hmm. people have a salary. We choose not to have any. The money goes to patients. And
how many people do you have?
We have 22 right now.
Oh!
And we're going to be doing another big recruit if anybody else is interested. And we have a very short list of requirements. We're really not like, oh, you have to do all these things to remain an Earth Angel. We ask them to attend 2 events a year. We ask to help promote events, especially our raffles, through social media. Share, share, share. And I even help. We have a committee. I think you know Julie Durkin. She decided to become an Earth Angel. She's amazing as a PR person, too. And we help out anyone who's not sure how to do it. And we ask if you're not able to come and help or share raffle tickets, you know, buy 2 for $5 or sell 2 for $5. Share 5 addresses for our mailing one time, one shot deal. And,
right.
and that's really it.
How do we contact you if I want to be a volunteer?
So we have a website. It's earthangelsbelieve.com.
Believe, not belief.
Believe.
Okay.
And, and you can let me know there. I have a phone number I can share, 845-625-3922.
Please. Say it again.
845-625-3922. We still support the Relay for Life.
Right.
They contact us every year because we do a butterfly release. We've done a butterfly release for 20 years, and it has never had to be canceled.
Wow.
There's been rain in the morning. There's been rain in the evening. But when we do that butterfly release around 4 o'clock, it is always perfect.
That's wild.
And we just did it. They moved from Patterson to Brewster, combined. So they're the Eastern Putnam
right.
Relay. We just did that, and my sister was able to be here for it. She attends a lot. She came to a luau in Carmel last year.
So her prognosis is good, though.
It is. It's really just the side effects of all the nasty stuff she has to go through. But she's a warrior. She,
Trish, today.
She's going to be fine.
Be good. You know, you said side effects, and it just totally triggered me. So, Trish, today, yeah, while we're talking, is getting a hearing test, and is probably going to have to get hearing aids because the chemo and the radiation damaged her hearing. Yeah. And it's just mind blowing. Like, I think people don't understand. One of the things I'd like to educate people about with this whole cancer journey, which you're an expert in and I'm new at, is it doesn't stop when you leave the hospital. Like, you get out and you even go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, there's no cancer in your body. You still have years before things line up.
It's tough because we had the experience with my mom, you know, cancer-free. We're like, good. And then 12 years later, boom.
Yeah.
And my sister really, like, she had a choice for chemo. We've heard so many stories where it has come back because.
Yeah, no, get the chemo.
You know, she's like, no, I want to go through it. And like I said, there's so many other drugs that will help you with the side effects. We just have to watch her white blood cell count. And, you know, we really have come so far. And I hear people a lot talk about, why are so many more people you're hearing about cancer?
Yep.
It's because we're educated. We have the means now to detect the earliest stages. I actually just came here from my mammogram and ultrasound. It's ironic. That's what I had this morning.
How'd you do?
So far, everything looked great.
There we go.
But that's why I came back to New York. It's kind of funny. So, you know, I believe people did pass away of cancer. I mean,
just didn't know it was cancer.
Just didn't know it was cancer. There was no way to find out. And more people are living with cancer. There are just so many more people living with cancer. Yeah. And we didn't talk about it when I was 16. My grandparents, my great-grandparents, very old-fashioned. No, you don't talk about it. We're not talking about it. And I just wanted to know more and more and more. I wanted to get in there. And then it wasn't until my mom went to Dana-Farber and I actually met Dr. Weiner, who's been on Stand Up for Cancer. A wonderful, wonderful oncologist, like one of the best in the world. And he said to my sister and I, come on in. We're talking about this as a family. Mm. We're going to learn and we're going to help each other. And he, you know, he would call my mom at home and I asked him, you know, about it. And he said, my job is difficult, but we're constantly researching, and that's what the American Cancer Society needs, a lot of the money for research.
Right.
And finding new cures. It's hard because cancer will – every cell has the ability to mutate, and cancer will get wise to medicines, just like just like antibiotics and bacteria and parasites.
Right.
So he was on Stand Up for Cancer. And someone asked him, what keeps you going? And he was in his office and he opened up the bottom file drawer and he said, the letters I get from families. And I knew my letter was, I knew my letter was in there thanking him even after my mom passed.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because he got her involved in the case study.
Right. That's beautiful.
Sorry.
No, don't be so. Everybody cries in here. Musicians cry in here. It's nothing to be sorry about at all.
If you heard me sing, you would cry.
you can't sing?
No, but I can dance.
Oh, okay. Are you an athlete?
Not really competitive.
You said sports though before.
So growing up, I did, but not competitive like my sister. My sister was like basketball, soccer, goalie. I was the bowler in the family, the golfer in the family. I was trying to learn tennis. Now everybody's into pickleball, so I don't know. Maybe I'll go that route.
No, that's old person's game. You don't want that. You don't want that. You're still in shape. Get tennis. Go back to tennis. Stop. Is the vision? So you're retired, but you're not. This foundation's got to be a full time job.
I'm semi-retired because of my tutoring little kiddos and the foundation. I'm able to.
How many hours a week are you in the foundation? I mean, that's got to be four.
Well, it's all day Mondays.
Right.
Mondays are my all day day with emails and grants and stuff like that. But it changes. So we just got, through our website, we just had a family request funds, for Patrick, his name is, and he has throat cancer. And they specifically put out what he needs money for. And then we check with the, oncology center, the doctor, and have to verify everything.
Right.
So I do a lot of paperwork with that. I have a great board.
Okay.
So the treasurer helps and the vice president helps. Who vice president is a cancer survivor warrior who is completely a miracle. And we have our PR people. So yeah, they do, especially now they help.
So what's the process? Somebody, I apply to you?
Right. So there's a form online.
Okay.
And you tell us your story.
Right.
And if we need any more information, you know, we call. This particular person didn't have the means, a computer, laptop, anything. So a family member did it for them.
Right.
And then we bring it before the board, and there has to be a unanimous vote.
Oh, okay.
And then the money is sent right to the people. And I was, we're lucky. We do a lot of fun little things. Like we set up a table at Resorts Casino and
nice.
Then we did one at Walmart last summer. One of the hottest days of the summer, we were outside in the parking lot. We had a huge raffle. We were selling our t-shirts. We were giving out our cards, and we met this woman, Yolanda, sweetest lady. And now I understand a little bit more about her journey because she was telling me about lymphedema, and I'm now educated on lymphedema. And we spent a lot of time talking to her. So the other thing is we're a resource to listen.
Right.
People come up all the time with their stories, and we listen, and we also refer people for whatever help. We'll find it.
That's
awesome.
We've
had a lot of families that have asked about bereavement costs, but there are so many places that will help you with bereavement costs.
So
they wouldn't know about that.
Right.
So we're a resource. So we were talking, and she bought a couple of raffle tickets, and she took our card and said, when I'm feeling better, I'd like to help in any way I can. So she went home and her husband said, are you kidding? You like just gave money to people in the parking lot at Walmart? I don't understand. Like, I think you were scammed. So she went on the website and she asked for help because her insurance doesn't cover lymphatic massages. So I went to the board and we sent her $1,000, and she was like, okay.
There's the scam. Yeah.
Do you believe now?
Right.
Because they're helping, and she couldn't have done it otherwise.
That lymphatic massage is a thing for Trish. There's called a tactile mask, and it's, you know about this?
I do, because of a cancer, one of our board members.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she still has to do it once a week, and I think you have to do it once a week for life.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, because the lymph, it comes back. Apparently, in her case, they say it'll come back. So that's freaking crazy, man. What do you do for fun?
Oh, so I had to plan a couple days in Cape Cod, and then my sister ended up in the hospital. So I spent my days at Beth Israel.
That does not sound like fun.
No, I actually, hanging out with my sons who came in. One's in Boston. He came in last night, and Patrick lives home, and they cooked dinner for me. I love hanging out with them. I live right on the Hudson River. Like, my backyard's the Hudson River.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
In the walkway over the Hudson, I can see from my living room.
Oh, so jealous.
I love to swim. I love to walk. I love to go to Fenway Park. I'm a huge Red Sox fan.
You are in your home.
Yeah.
Giant Red Sox fan.
And
you are in
my
very safe
fourth
space.
Generation. So, as a matter of fact, the day my sister had her surgery on my birthday, my son said, "Mom, you're not hanging around the hospital. We're going to Fenway Park." So I went to a Red Sox game.
Oh, very cool.
Tutoring, you know, people say you're working, but I love it.
Mm.
I love teaching.
Why'd you retire?
I'm a teacher. COVID.
Yeah,
I made the decision. When I realized, I sat down with my financial advisor and I said, "Look, it's changed."
Yeah.
And it's 30 years, and
yeah,
and I did, and it took me a while to adjust.
Yeah, I bet.
But the tutoring helps. I go to a lot of live music. You know, a lot of my friends.
Oh yeah,
musicians,
yep.
And bands, love it.
Cool.
And we have so much support. People are now coming to us, whereas before we were like, can we use your venue? Can we get this band? People are coming to us, so it's really great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'd like to collaborate with you one day.
I was about to invite you for the Lifted Project this year.
Well, great. I'm there.
All right.
Thank you.
April 6th, next year. It's a 200-person choir. There's going to be four parts to it. There's a children's choir. I'm writing a song with the children's choir. I wrote half and then I handed it off.
Nice.
And they're going to write it. Then there's a acoustic guitar and acoustic bass orchestra. that's going to do another thing. And then the original group from last year is going to do a new song. And then there's 200 people are going to do Won't Be Broken at the end of it. Oh,
wonderful.
So,
April 6th.
Yeah, April 6th. Yeah, it's, okay. It's you, Hudson River Housing. I'll write you, obviously, but it's you, Hudson River Housing, James's Warriors, and we're still looking for a fourth. But, yeah.
Hudson River Housing, I support, my sons and I have supported for 30 years because of students that I had in my class living there. And we're always going at Christmas time. And so we adopt families at Christmas.
Wonderful.
We still do it.
You know Krista, have you met Krista Hines?
I have.
She's an angel. That woman's an angel. I would lay down on railroad tracks for that lady.
There are a lot of angels. You don't hear a lot of the fun, wonderful stuff that's going on. It's on the news or anything. This is great that you have this because, you do meet so many people who are out there and support. And there's a lot of people who support us anonymously.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't need any of that attention. And we're very lucky.
Yeah. Are you physically located? Do you have like a physical office or do you all just do it remote?
We're not that big yet.
We got 22 people.
We're not that big as far as the money that is brought in. And we would, you know, we don't even spend it on advertising, like people help us out there because we want to give the money to the patients. But that's one of our goals. You know, we've tried federal grants and state grants, but we're not in that little niche where, it's like if it's technology, sustainability, or things like that, it's really hard. But I'm constantly researching for grants and things like that.
Yeah.
We need to – it'll happen. It'll happen.
You're located in a really – the Hudson Valley is like a really unique spot. I bet you can get where you want to go without grants.
I'm hoping.
There's so many – it's a weird place. It's weird because there's so many really good musicians in one spot.
Yeah.
When I started the show, I started the show 3 years ago, right? And I wasn't even going to play guitar. My vision was just to talk about mental health and musicians because I'm crazy, but I play guitar. So that's what I know, right? So, I wasn't even going to play guitar because I was scared to come up here because everybody up here is fucking master guitar players. It's ridiculous. So the Hudson Valley is weird. I got over it, but the Hudson Valley is weird because there's so many musicians, but it's so community oriented, that I bet you'll get. How big do you want to get? Do you have like a target? Cause if you get too big.
Yeah. I like Sparrow's Nest big. I don't want to get that big.
Okay. Cause you get, we were talking about that. We had on, can't remember. People for People Fund. Do you know them?
No.
They're real local. They're basically, they raise money for people who are normally employed but hit a bump.
Okay.
And like are between jobs but are normally self-sufficient but just hit a bump and can't like make a month's rent or can't pay the electric bill or whatever. So they raise money for that. And we were talking about like the nature of good, what the nature of good is. And I said, I think good works best in on the community level. And I think once you start expanding it, like when you get to the state level, like you say, you're applying for grants, but it's just.
And you have to pay
to apply
get into the system
right.
to apply.
Right. Which is craziness. And then when you get on the federal level, goodness almost disappears.
Yeah.
So I think the sweet spot for, like, if you really, like you guys are doing, if you really want to do good, I think the sweet spot is, you know, kind of your vision.
Yeah. And getting out there, like, you can write letters, but I walk, like, for example, I walk into car dealerships and I say, this is an event coming up for this person. And then we have a sponsorship form.
Mm.
And
beautiful.
Yeah. There's different levels of sponsorship. We always get some level.
Right.
You know? And then we sit down and we do a mass thank you mailing. You know, we handwrite everything.
That's beautiful.
And then we were involved with Hudson Valley Gives. This was our second year. The first year, I found out about it too late. We raised a little bit. So this year, we merged our mailing with this, and we came up with superheroes helping superheroes. And we had a meeting. I said, look, let's set a goal. And it was 5,000. Well, we had reached 5,000 halfway through the day. So Kathy,
who is
our warrior, said, we're going to raise $10,000. I traveled around. I went to Pizza Place, Dunkin', the gym, all live, and we gave out incentives. So, like, the first person after the, like, in the next 10 minutes, we'll get a gift card. But also Hudson Valley Gives has incentives for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we won $1,000 for understanding the assignment and having the most enthusiasm, which we loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the farthest away, Tasmania. But we could only win two things, and they had pulled our name for a golden ticket for $500. So another team, who absolutely deserved it, got the second farthest right. away. And we ended at One Murphy's, and we were like, look, we are so close, and we're exhausted, and we just need to meet our mark. And by the next day, we were like $10,300.
Wow. Congratulations.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so emotional, but it was so great. But you really had to be live, and you had to go all over and, you know, put the work in.
Right.
But I love it.
Right. So when your sister's better, is this going to be like your full-time gig? Like, do you ever see, like, giving up the tutoring and just doing this?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know if I could ever give it up. I'd like to just keep tutoring.
Right.
As long as I can. Because it really brings me a lot of joy.
That's,
but I want to spend more time on the beach, too.
Thank God. This makes more sense. You have a house up there?
So my sister and I got a place together.
Oh, cool.
2 years ago. She lives there year-round. And I go back and forth.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You wouldn't move up there, though, permanently?
I don't know. I think I'd like to have a place there and then someplace where there's no winter, like south. I don't know.
That's my daughter's argument about college, and it's pissing me off. So.
My oldest son's moving to San Francisco. He's like, come out west.
Ooh. San Francisco has beautiful weather, though.
It does. I went last summer, and he did an internship, and I was like, the weather's been the same every day.
Yeah.
Like 75. And after that fog burns off, it's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. My dumb daughter, she's 16 and a half years old, right? And she pulls good grades. So she's got some options for schools. So I'm like, listen, first your dad went crazy. Then your mom got cancer. You haven't. Like, you know, you missed like a bunch of, I'll tell you a story that would make you cry. But this isn't it. you missed like a bunch. Your mom missed a year and a half of being a parent. I missed, you know, years being a parent. Let's do a 4 hour radius and just go to school within 4 hours of us so that we can still touch a little bit. No, Dad, I don't want winters. I want to go. So she wants to go to like North Carolina. And I'm like, what? You're 16. You can't take winter at 16? For crying out loud.
I grew up near Syracuse. So yeah.
Oh, right.
Winter.
Right. Yeah, that's winter. I'm like, you're 16. You can't take winter to be close to your parents? No, can't do it. But, no, the story I was going to tell you is going to make you cry. So Trish gets sick, and for, you know, like a year and a half, she really can't do much of anything. And so, you know, she was talking to me about it, and she was saying, you know, I'm not being a mom, and Gramercy's missing having a parent. So I go to Gramercy, and I go, listen, you know, your mom feels this way, so I'm taking your temperature. Do you feel like you're missing a parent? And she said, no, I'm seeing two people stick together.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. All right. So
yeah.
We'll be okay with you. You'll be all right. But,
I mean, it can tear families apart, but in both my cases, it brought everyone together. And my dad used to come home, and my mom wanted to take a bath, and he would boil that water on the stove and keep adding it to the bath to make sure it was warm.
Yep.
And,
it's so funny though, cause some people run.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have that. I'm not saying for better or worse, but I just don't have that gene where I would run if somebody was. But like, people get sick, and some people just fucking disappear.
Yeah,
and I don't get that, but they do. Yeah. We witnessed it. People who we thought were going to be like front and center disappeared for a year.
It's scary for people, you know.
Okay, but suck it up, man.
I know.
if it might be scary for you, but
imagine if you were the patient.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and it's quite humbling after spending hours seeing all these people hooked up to
chemotherapy,
and I don't have anything to complain about. I wake up each day, I'm healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
do you have
my kids are healthy?
Do you have almost a remorse about being healthy? Like,
No, I'm thankful because I could not take care of my sister if I wasn't.
Right.
I have to be there for my boys. My oldest son actually went through some mysterious disease. He was in the Peace Corps in Africa for 2 years.
Oh, I know what the disease is.
Yeah. I had to be strong for him. And
did he get bit by something? Or?
He did not get bit by something.
Oh, okay, then my theory's out.
He got a parasite that was, we were told he would get, and they had medicine for him, and he got through it. However, it forms scar tissue in his liver, so he'll periodically get these abscesses. He's been in and out of the hospital. This has been going on for over 3 years.
Oh.
And he has doctors at the Mayo Clinic, California, because he was hospitalized when he was there, Boston, and they think it's some genetic thing.
Right.
Scratching their head. But he's gone the longest.
There you go.
Over a year. His normal is different now. He gets tired easily, but what did he do the other night? He went rock climbing. So yeah, he's on the go. My other son, who
you guys must have like good in your genes. He went to Peace Corps in Africa for 2 years.
Yeah, I got to visit him too.
And you're running a foundation. You guys must have like good DNA.
I don't know.
That's sweet, man.
And my youngest has suffered from anxiety since he was young, and we finally realized he has OCD and a germaphobe, and I've had to help him through quite a bit. So I have to be strong. I have to be present and strong for them. Thank God they're doing great right now, because I couldn't handle it if it was them and my sister and everything.
Right.
But yeah, we've gone through a lot. But it makes you realize how precious life is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
And it makes you, not a Trish story, but maybe you'll relate to it. So Trish's whole thing started with her dentist, right? She thought she bit her cheek, and it wasn't getting any better. And she and her dentist are very close, like personally, they're friends. And she goes to the dentist, and 45 minutes later, she's in surgery. Wow. And then she goes through this whole thing. They chop her head off. She gets the chemo, the radiation, and all the time, her dentist is. Oh, this is a good caregiver story too. All the time her dentist is watching everything. Like she signed forms for her dentist because she wanted her dentist to be on it. So, you'll relate to this. So now it's over and she goes to see her dentist, and he walks in the room. They start hugging and they're crying, right? She's crying hard. He's crying a little bit. And I'm just sitting there, but I can hear it. And he goes to her, "How was it?" And she goes, "It was really hard." And you pull apart, and he goes, "Now you know you can do hard things."
Yes.
Right?
Might we have that on the refrigerator?
Oh, do you?
You can do hard things.
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
We have notes all over the place.
And then, but this is a message for you, though. So I leave because now they're talking, and I don't want to be hanging around because they're having a moment, and it's beautiful, but not me. So he comes out. I'm in the waiting room. He comes out, and he stands up, and he gives me a hug, and he says, "She would not be there if you were not here." And it's the same thing for your sister. She would not be there if you were not here. So take that in if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough, man. All right.
It is.
The foundation website is what?
Earthangelsbelieve.com.
And it's believe, because I kept saying belief.
Believe.
Okay.
It's all lowercase, one word.
Beautiful. And I can sign on. You're looking for volunteers?
Looking for volunteers.
Looking for donations?
Donations we take every day of the year.
Beautiful. And next upcoming event is?
We don't have a major one planned yet.
Oh, April 6th.
We're definitely going to do something no, before kidding. April 6th. But yes, okay. April 6th, yes.
No, I was kidding.
I kind of needed to take a break. We had three things last month.
And, oh, okay.
I'm working on something with One Murphy's. Leah and I are cooking up something for the end of the summer. And we'll probably do a bike run with Veroni's Harley Davidson. They're great supporters.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We went live from there. Hudson Valley Giving Day with our superhero capes on, and
very cool.
It was great.
Well, if there's anything else I can do, let me know, man.
Okay, I sure will. This has been great. I appreciate it,
John. No, thank you for coming in here. And wait, I'm going to take a picture while we're still on the air. Sorry. Smile and say cheese.
Cheese.
Oh, there we go. Okay. And I'll write you really quick about Lifted Pride. We're the only thing we don't have is a venue, so we're still working on that.
Okay.
I think we're going to do like a church just because it's so many people that the
That's
acoustics.
Nice. Yeah.
So we're working on that.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, Gina. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
You're
so
awesome. Thank you for being such a good person too.
Thank you. I want to thank all our supporters out there too. Appreciate it. We can't do it without you.
Done. All right. That was Home From Here. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Good. You did great.
I'm talking about my life. It's-